Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Diane Mulcahy is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Diane is a new friend. She's a senior fellow, director of private equity at Kauffman Foundation, an organization I've been telling you about for almost as long as I've been on the radio, way back into the previous century. And not the 19th century, the 20th century. I know what some of you are thinking. And she's also an adjunct lecturer at Babson College, former executive in residence at Babson, which is an organization I've also been telling you about since way back in the day. And she's the author of a new book called The Gig Economy. And she's here to talk to us about that. Diane Mulcahy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. We know all about your organization and both organizations and think an awful lot of them. A lot of folks have heard about the term the gig economy, but maybe didn't know what it means, and some people may not have even heard the term. So why don't you tell us about it?
I will. The gig economy is it's an emerging way of working, is how I like to talk about it. So in our labor market, there's full-time employees, and then there's everybody else. And I call everybody else the gig economy. So it's people who are working part-time, who are consulting, who are contracting, freelancing, working on demand. Basically, if you're not a full-time employee in a traditional job,
right,
you're part of the gig economy.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a waitress working two jobs, if you're an Uber driver, what if you have a regular job and you're also an Uber driver, for example?
Well, I would put somebody like that in the gig economy as well.
I met those people, and you have too.
Yes. I mean, a lot of people, we call those side gigs. So maybe you have a full-time job, but you're doing a side gig either to earn money or to improve your skills or to expand your network.
So me taking the garbage out for my wife doesn't count.
That does not count.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to get some points here. All right. So the gig economy is where you don't, If you're fully invested in the gig economy, you're basically living by your wits. As one of my professor friends, when he talks about me, he says my friend Jim Blasingame lives by his wits. What he means is I own a small business, right? And so you kind of live by your wits, and you're not counting on one employer to make your living. Giving them some of your time, giving your time to more than one source of income.
Right. I mean, you could say it's living by your wits, but think of it as, you know, you're running your own small business, and that small business is you.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, so you're responsible for generating your income and finding work and filling your pipeline and doing business development and all those things you would do as if you were running a small business. You're doing that for yourself because you are your own business.
When I left corporate America in 89, I started a consulting company that had a name, it was a real business, but I thought of my sources of income as clients, but in a way, since I was basically a vice president you could rent, I was a gig vice president.
That's right.
Because because I did quite a bit of work for many of them, you know, maybe long projects, you know, long hours and maybe months.
Yep. And, you know, what's driving the gig economy is the idea that you really can't rely on one employer and one full-time job anymore.
Can we say that another way, Diane?
The economy doesn't work that way.
Can I say it another way? Because I don't like that way of thinking about it. Can we say it another way? You don't have to rely on another person. I'd rather say it that way because there's still good jobs out there. I mean, I have employees; they work for a heck of a boss, and so I really, maybe this is my foginess, old foginess coming through, but I still believe that there are going to be jobs, they're going to be good jobs, and some people, and I, because I know these people, Diane, some people are in the gig economy not because they can't get a job like that, but because they won't commit to a job like that. See, that's what I'm worried about. This is a direction I want to go in the next segment, is this commitment thing. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. There are people who are in the gig economy because they have to be, and then there are a lot of people who are in the gig economy because they're choosing to be, mm-hmm. and they see a lot of the opportunities and advantages that the gig economy offers that are more attractive to them than working a traditional full-time job as an employee.
I was a good employee for 23 years. I was downsized twice in 18 months, and I said, I don't have to screw up my life. I don't need help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. And I started my business. But I didn't think of it as a gig. I thought of it as my new business.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, those layoffs and those downsizings, those are continuing today. I mean,
yeah.
The idea that jobs are secure, I think, has gone away. And so the gig economy really presents an opportunity to structure your own career in a way that traditionally people haven't been able to do as easily.
Well, you're also talking to somebody who's one of the major detractors of corporate America, especially lately. I've been riding them pretty hard about the way they treat people. You're also someone who believes that they've laid off too many people, and so I don't disagree with you in a lot of what you're saying, but I do think a lot of the gig economy is what's happened in the economy. I do think we need to realize though that some of it, maybe a lot of it, is by choice.
Some of it definitely is by choice, and I think a lot of what we're seeing today is by choice, although you're right. I mean, the way the labor market is structured, you know, corporations have clear incentives to lay people off and to minimize the number of employees that they have.
Let me give you a quick piece of information, a statistic before we go to this break. Bill Dukenberg with the NFIB, chief economist of the NFIB, his research shows there may be 4 million jobs going wanting because people can't find people to fill them. Part of the reason is the applicants won't conform to the way people work in that operation. Hold on to that thought. The book is called The Gig Economy. Diane Mulcahy is the author. It's an outstanding book. Stay with us. 20 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.